Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Gainey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we're discussing the newest film in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, the final one in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise. That's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. It does not have any title after that. It's just Volume 3. So we will be talking about Guardians today here on the show in depth. First, though, we do have some news items to get to. First up, our man Tom Hanks has a new book out. I didn't even know he was writing another book. I've read his first book, which is like a short story collection that is pretty good. But is this new book also short stories or is it something else?
No. And also, I think he's written, I'm going to do a quick Google search. I think he's written several books.
Okay.
But I know Uncommon Type, you and I think that's what you're referring to.
Yes. Yep.
And yeah, he has a couple things because he also has Everything I Learned in Life.
Okay.
Somebody else wrote this about Tom Hanks. So this actually could be his second one.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's the second one. Okay. But this one, it's called The Making of Another Motion Picture Masterpiece. And I don't think this is like a firsthand account of all of his films, but it's based on movies that he's been in and his experience in motion pictures, like making films.
Okay. Very cool.
So yeah, but he talks about, so the synopsis, it doesn't give a lot, but I know that it talks about it's different parts, and it starts in 1947, so it's about a soldier returning from war. He meets his nephew and then he disappears for 23 years. Okay. In 1970, we cut to the nephew is now like drawing comic books and reconnects with the uncle. And then in present day, there's a successful director discovers the comic book and turns it into a contemporary superhero movie.
Okay.
But I know that all of this has to do with like things, his experiences in like
filmmaking,
being an actor and stuff. Yes. But Goodreads only, I held off. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to pre-order this. And then yesterday, of course, I ordered it like the day you could buy it. So I ordered it. But Goodreads only had a couple reviews. I mean, it was like less than 100. And it was about a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
So it's like, it's doing fine. But we'll see. I'll keep you posted. But again, it's called The Making of Another Major Motion Picture Masterpiece.
Okay. Well, we'll see how good that Tom Hanks novel is. So definitely we'll probably read that because it's written by Tom Hanks. So we'll see how that one is. This is his debut novel too, because the last one was short stories. So this is a complete story, you know, all in one. So some other news items. We have to mention that Robert De Niro had another child. Congrats, I guess. He's 79 years old, had his 7th child. Just for some context, his oldest daughter, Drina, is 51 and now has a new child who is obviously 0. So quite a big split. He said to some organization that fatherhood brings both mystery and excitement. How long is this kid going to get to see him live? Like, I don't know. Even if he lives to 100, the kid's only 21.
Also, okay, I missed. I'm sorry, I was kind of paying attention. But who did you say the mom is?
So that is still kind of like up in the air. It's a pretty unknown person.
Because he got divorced like fairly recently. And I thought, well, that's not who the mom is. Well, and
it's
also Tiffany, I think she's older.
Tiffany Chin. Who is his girlfriend, I guess. And she also works on like movies and things. But she's not like an actress, I don't think, but she is involved with the movie industry somehow. So yeah. So kind of an unknown there. And people are still trying to figure out a lot of info about Tiffany Chin and, you know, how her and De Niro got together. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess best of luck to Robert De Niro there.
Good luck, sir.
Next news item is Jamie Foxx. Boy, Jamie Foxx has been having a lot going on. And he's been having a really bad medical thing happening, but they haven't said what it is. He's been in the hospital for a while, though. And they say it's not life threatening, but they are saying that it's pretty serious, whatever it is. So
I did some digging. I don't know that any of this is right because they really are keeping this very private, but apparently he has blood pressure problems.
Okay.
And the article I read, I can't even source it. I don't even remember. I was just kind of looking last night, but they said that they, that it is more serious than the family's letting on.
Okay. Okay.
But I felt really bad because I don't dislike Jamie Foxx. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan. But I at first thought like, oh, people are being dramatic. And now I feel terrible because this actually does sound really pretty serious. I hope he's okay. And the fact that he's even been in the hospital for a month is that's telling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I wonder if it has something to do with high blood pressure, which can be catastrophic for people.
Yeah. So again, not a lot of updates there. Just he's in the hospital right now. And there's no official reports from the family or his agent or anything like that about what's kind of going on. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll get an update soon about Jamie Foxx. And then also update on Jonathan Majors. He was in court via Zoom on Tuesday for a hearing that was related to those assault and harassment charges that were filed against him back in March. So he denied the allegations and his attorney denied the allegations. His attorney issued a statement to CNN and said, quote, "This is a witch hunt against Jonathan Majors driven by baseless claims. To be clear, there are no new charges against Mr. Majors. They also are accusing the prosecutors of racial bias in the case and reiterated that their team has provided investigators video evidence that allegedly exonerates Jonathan Majors." So not a lot happened in this initial hearing, but they are scheduled for another one on June 13th. So we'll probably get some more info there. So,
wow. It's funny, though, because I brought that up because I was talking to a couple people this week about it because I completely forgot that there was an altercation or whatever we want to call it. But it was weird that we've heard nothing. Whoever his PR team is, though, they're doing a really good job because when this first happened, we barely heard anything. And then now there's barely been any update even on what did he do, who's involved, mm-hmm. what's going on. We just know he went to court.
So no corrections this week as we wrap up with news. So we'll get on to recommendations. I have been watching a show. Allison and I have been watching this, and you may have heard of this, Katie. The show's yes. called Jury Duty, and it's yes. on Amazon, but you can watch it free through Freevee, but we just watch it through Amazon.
But it's on Amazon. I was going to yes. ask where this is because I want to watch it. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, so it is a show where everybody on the show except one person is an actor. And James Marsden is also on the show. He would be like the yeah. biggest name, but everybody else is kind of like a low-key actor, obviously, because what the whole premise is they bring this guy in who's not an actor who thinks he is there just for jury duty, but is unaware that they're actually like making a TV show about the whole thing. We've only watched two episodes so far. They're both pretty funny. It's a lot of improv comedy because they kind of just have, they obviously have like story beats or like big moments that they want to hit, but uh-huh. in terms of how that plays out, it just kind of is all up to the actors, and obviously they got to go off of like the guy's reaction too that doesn't know what's going on. His name's Ronald. So it's a really good show so far, though. It's pretty funny and it's unique. And also Ronald, who is on the show, I just saw this today, he's going to be in a new commercial for Mint Mobile. Which was owned by Ryan Reynolds, but he just sold that. So he's getting some commercials and other work out of it, which is cool since he was just kind of an unknown that was on the show.
Well, I watched Stephen Colbert. You know mm-hmm. how I think you can tell when Stephen really likes a guest, like when he actually yeah. is a fan and wants to talk to them. And he interviewed James Marsden about this show. So I listened to it because I like looking at James Marsden. And he was talking about it and it sounded really funny and everyone's been talking about it. And I've also never had jury duty. I don't know that I'd want to do it forever or be in like a high profile case, but I am more curious about it, I would say, than most people, because I mainly hear people just say jury duty's the worst. But it sounded like such an interesting concept and I definitely want to watch it now. So we'll see. Jared just said in our chat that maybe our jury duty letters will come as soon
our
as
our summons. Yeah,
out. So,
we'll come in the mail right after we publish
we'll see.
This. Yeah,
but I'm glad you're. Oh, and then Jared, I had a question. Did all the episodes come out at once, or are they releasing like a couple at a time?
That I'm not sure about, but okay. I know all the episodes are out now. So okay. You can watch. There's only 8 episodes. And it looks like how they did it is they released a couple every week. They're only like 30 minutes. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. So they released like 4, and then they did 2, and then they did the final 2. So, but all of them are out okay. now. So, cool. Yep.
And I meant to tell you that I am caught up on Succession now. So the only one I haven't seen nice. Is the one that happened Sunday. So okay. I'm aware of everything that's going on at this point.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
So that's my only recommend for this week.
Awesome. Well, I watched a show everybody was raving about on Netflix, The Diplomat with Carrie Russell. People were raving about it. I thought it was great. I binged it. So I'm done. I'm caught up on it. It is, again, it's on Netflix. It's new. I'm trying to think if there's any other big names in it. There's really not. The guy that plays the prime minister, I've seen him in some other things. But it's a really good show. She is a diplomat for America. And then Rufus Sewell. I should have said that. He's famous. You would recognize him. He plays her husband, Hal. They have, I wouldn't say a contentious relationship, but they have, it's really like precarious. Like they're on the brink of a divorce, but then they go on this assignment together to England. And I think it was 7 or 8 episodes, but it was really good. So anyway, I would recommend that. And that's again on Netflix. And then I also was inspired by our last review. I found a copy. I think I mentioned I had found a copy of Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret in my house. I forgot I had it and I reread it. It's a very quick read. It's 150 pages and it was darling. It was as cute as I remember, but I think it was my 3rd time reading it, but I've read it at very different ages and stages of my life. And it's been interesting to read it each time. And what was I going to say about it? Oh, they did change a couple things. There wasn't anything super significant,
okay.
but they did change some stuff, or at least like the order of the things happening in the movie. But it stayed very true to the book.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So those are recommends for this week. And so now we'll talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, released on May 5th, rated PG-13 for intense sequences of violence, action, strong language, suggestive drug references, and thematic elements. I would also warn you, if you have not seen this movie, some of this movie is just, I would say, creepy. Some of the character designs yeah. are very creepy and a little off-putting. So if that freaks you out at all, just be aware of that. That's going to mean, obviously, you have like Rocket and Groot and things that are, but there's a lot more of animal characters in this movie. And some of them are just really off-putting the way they look, so well, and not natural gonna, so
yeah. And I also think animal cruelty was rough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that would be another big point in this movie too. So
yeah,
it's 2 hours and 30 minutes. IMDb is an 8.3 out of 10, so very high. Rotten Tomatoes critics 82%, audiences 95%. Box office wise, $127 million domestically, $318 million worldwide. Of course, it's going to do well at the box office, being that it is a Marvel movie. And the synopsis for this one, still reeling from the loss of Gamora, Peter Quill, rallies his team to defend the universe and one of their own, a mission that can mean the end of the Guardians, if not successful. So,
can we just take a minute for me to bring up some Chris Pratt news, though?
Yeah, yep.
So, Jared, I know you know about this because we messaged about it, but the toe on Instagram. I think everybody knows how I feel about Chris Pratt, but Chris Pratt really showed his arse, if you will. On Instagram recently, he posted, for no reason, a picture of his pinky toe nail, which yeah. clearly has some sort of fungus situation, fungal infection, something or other. And I don't know why he did it. I don't really know what sparked this, but even his wife and mother-in-law, Maria Shriver, were like, what's going on here? Like, why are you doing this? And thought it was gross. He took it down immediately, but faced a lot of criticism. And then today, because I think the internet knows that I don't want to hear news about him, it just sends me news stories about him anyway. And I read today that he was at a press conference about Guardians of the Galaxy and was talking about how people don't like him. And he said, well, people didn't like Jesus either. And I was like, yeah, Chris, you're exactly the same. You and Jesus, same level, same circumstances. Absolutely.
Did you see he was hanging out with your boy, Timothy Chalamet? They were at a Lakers playoff game, and he put a, I think it was on his Instagram story or maybe his Instagram post, he put a picture up with him and Chalamet. So
well, that is deeply upsetting, but Timothy is also probably dating Kylie Jenner, so I don't really know what to think about him these days.
We need to get to the Lakers games. It seems like that's where all the drama happens.
Jack Nicholson's been there lately.
Yeah. He's always there, but a lot of celebrities are there. Yeah. So if you would like to support the podcast for a trip out to LA to go to the Lakers game, not to watch the game, just to get the scoop on all the celebrities and what they're going through and the gossip, then let us know. We'll be willing to take your donations. So this movie is directed by James Gunn. He's directed all the movies in the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise and also directed the Suicide Squad. Big thing with James Gunn is that he has taken over the head of DC now. So he will now be in charge of the DC cinematic universe and kind of what Kevin Feige does for Marvel. James Gunn is going to do that same thing for DC. So this was his last Marvel movie per se. And now he's going to direct Superman Legacy, which is a DC movie. And he's over the DC cinematic universe now. So
got it. Thank you for explaining that, because I wasn't sure when I was looking at the notes and I was like, Superman, wait a minute.
Yeah. So, but he's done obviously Marvel movies, and then he got hired last year to become the co-chair and the co-CEO of DC Studios.
Wow.
So that is his new job now. So, and he's 56 years old. So obviously still pretty young in terms of directing and has a lot of time ahead of him, even though he's done a bunch of projects so far. So we will take a quick break here on the show. We'll come back, talk about the cast and our likes and dislikes for Guardians of the Galaxy. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. In the lead role is Peter Quill, played by one Chris Pratt.
Yes, let's just get through this, shall we? Chris Pratt is known for Parks and Recreation, the Lego movie, the Guardians of the Galaxy franchise, and the Super Mario Brothers movie that just came out, and the latest Jurassic World installments. Next up, he will star in The Electric State, Cowboy Ninja Viking, and Garfield.
Very nice.
Then we have, I practiced this, Chukwudi Iwuji. He is the High Evolutionary. He's the villain of the film. He is originally from Nigeria, and he even attended Yale for a while, but it looked to me when I was researching that he didn't actually graduate from there, but amazing that he attended and got in. He is best known for Designated Survivor, When They See Us, The Split, and John Wick Chapter 2. He does not yet have any upcoming projects listed. Lastly, we have someone I love so much, Bradley Cooper. Jared, if you could give me a crush alert. Thank you, sir. I am crazy about Bradley Cooper, and he plays Rocket, who is the raccoon in this film. He is a major, major character in this film. Bradley is, of course, known for A Star is Born, American Sniper, American Hustle, Silver Linings Playbook, Licorice Pizza, and Nightmare Alley. And along with acting, he previously directed A Star is Born. Next up, he is going to be directing and starring in Maestro, where he will portray Leonard Bernstein.
When does that movie come out? I feel like we've been talking about that forever.
I know. I don't know. August,
it's coming out sometime this year, it says. So it's going to be released by Netflix. So don't know what time during this year, but it will be coming out this year. So
there you go.
Yeah, Carrie Mulligan also in that movie, too.
Yes, so excited for that. And then this movie does have an all-star cast, per usual for Marvel films. This movie also stars Zoe Saldana, Pom Klementieff, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillan, Vin Diesel, Will Poulter, Elizabeth Debicki, and Sean Gunn.
So we'll get into our likes and dislikes now for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I think for me, one like would be that this is a pretty solid Marvel movie, one of the better Marvel movies in recent memory, at least for me. Overall, I thought this was a pretty strong film in a lot of different areas. And obviously, one thing with Guardians is the music. That's a big thing in these movies.
Yes, I really liked the music. I think that the music especially in Guardians of the Galaxy, are like a whole other character in the film. And I don't know who did all the sound design and stuff like that, but they pick the best like rock songs, or I don't know. And a lot of them are not contemporary, you know, or like modern music that we listen to. But I really enjoyed the last, I think it's the last song they play, is Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. That song is like maybe one of my favorite songs ever. It's just, it brings up like a feeling of nostalgia and a certain time in my life. And that song, I also thought was a perfect choice for what was happening at the end, like as the movie was wrapping up.
Yeah, the music in this one was good, just like the other two. Lots of great selections for the soundtrack. So obviously that's a big standout with these movies is the music. So another like is that this one focuses a lot on Rocket, not on Peter. Obviously, Peter is the main character, but Rocket is really the main focus in this one. They're trying to save Rocket, basically save their friend, which you find out early in the movie. So I liked that. I thought that was cool to kind of switch it up, focus on a different character. Obviously, in the past, we focused on Gamora and Nebula's relationship, but in this one, we're focusing more on Rocket.
I do think that something Guardians does very well is that they don't focus only on Peter's character. And I'm not just saying that because I don't love Chris Pratt, but I like that they focused on somebody else. And Rocket is my favorite character. So it was cool to find out like how he came to be in that group. But a lot of his storyline like made me want to cry.
Yeah, it was very sad and emotional for sure at times throughout the movie. So, but it was cool to see the focus on him this time. So, another like that I had is I thought the cinematography was very cool in this movie. A lot of the close-up camera shots and a lot of the action sequences, you kind of feel like you're right there with them during the action sequences. So I thought that was cool. So I had to give a shout out to that. And then I also had to give a shout out to the CGI too. I think sometimes in Marvel movies that doesn't look great. But this one looked really good. Rocket looked really good. And the rest of the CGI looked like fantastic.
I agree with you on the CGI. And that was something even I noticed. A lot of it just didn't look fake. It looked very natural, especially with all the animals, because there were a lot of animals in this. I could not tell what was real and what wasn't. Obviously, a talking raccoon's different. But as far as just looking at the animals and what they looked like, I couldn't tell that they weren't live animals, that they used live animals.
So another like too is that the decision to keep Gamora and Peter as friends and not turn that back into a romantic relationship when it could have gone either way, obviously, but James Gunn decided, because he also wrote this movie, that they were just going to stay as friends. And I liked that. I thought that was a nice choice. There's really no romance in the movie at all. I mean, there's Chris Pratt reflecting on his relationship with Gamora, but at the end they decide they're just going to stay friends.
Agreed. That was one of my favorite decisions of this film. And it's good that we're talking about it because there's certain things I kind of forgot about. And it's reminding me, oh, yeah, they really did that well. And that relationship, I wasn't sure how it was going to end. And I think it would have been very easy for them to have like a romantic moment and be done. Like, I thought at the end they were about to kiss and then they didn't. Mm-hmm. But I like how they left it, at least for right now, because we know we're going to see a lot of these characters again, even if it's not a standalone like Guardians of the Galaxy movie. But I don't think they need to have a romantic situation. And I think too much has happened and it makes sense that they didn't. So good job to James Gunn for writing it that way.
I also wanted to give a shout out to Dave Bautista in this movie. I thought he was excellent in his role as Drax. He was very funny throughout the entire movie. And I think of the supporting characters besides Rocket, he was probably my favorite. He had a lot of funny lines, but really showed his range too. You know, this is a guy that was kind of like a professional wrestler and then moved over to the acting scene, kind of just like The Rock did. But I think in this movie particularly, he's shown that he can be a really solid actor. And he was in that Knock at the Cabin movie last year, that M. Night Shyamalan movie. So that kind of like a thriller type movie. So he's got a little bit of range and was in Glass Onion, obviously, too. But I think his worth as an actor is definitely rising.
Yes, I liked his character a lot. You know who I liked was Mantis, who was playing alongside him, played by Palm. Mm-hmm. I thought also she's French. I had no idea. I was really curious about her. I haven't seen her in anything else. But I thought she was so funny, and I really liked her humor and her relationship with Dave Bautista.
Nice.
So I noticed that as well.
And that just kind of leads into another like that these characters are very likable. It's very enjoyable to watch them on screen together. They have good chemistry, all of them together. And I think it helps, too, that they were all for the most part, in the same location for a lot of their scenes. You know, sometimes when you try to like CGI people in or whatever, it doesn't work as well. But I think for this, you could tell that they had all shot their scenes together. Obviously, they split up at various points through the movie, and those would be separate filming sequences. But I liked that they were all together in one room. So
that's a good point, Jared. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, you're right.
I also liked that this has been my like for the whole like Guardians franchise though, but I liked that their ship, when they're in the front of their ship, you can see all of the characters. I think that helps just build the bond as well, just how they designed that so that they're all like visible at one time. I also liked the villain in this movie. I thought he was very mean and menacing and evil, which sometimes is not the case with Marvel movies. But in this one, you just felt like he might kill anybody at any particular moment.
Yeah, the villain, I wouldn't say he's like my favorite as far as villains go, but he was exceptionally creepy. Even like the last, like the scene where, and these are kind of spoilers. I feel like if anyone's listening to this, you know, there can be spoilers, but he like gets his face peeled off, and that was sufficiently creepy. And I just thought he seems like someone that would either like be a leader of a cult, or would just be kind of someone who like, I mean, unfortunately, like someone who does like a suicide mission or something. Like he just reminds me, I don't know, something about him seemed like sociopathic, or I don't even know if that's the right diagnosis, but he was very creepy to me.
Another like that I had, my final one before we move on to dislikes, at least for me, is I like the themes in these movies. Obviously, these movies are about family. They're about friendship. This one in particular is about second chances, maybe righting some wrongs that happened in your past, especially with the Rocket's character. And I thought those were all very good themes to explore in this movie. Very positive kind of uplifting overall. I mean, there's things that happen in the movie that aren't positive, but the overall theme of the movie is positive.
Yes, agreed. And I think maybe my last thing, it's kind of twofold, but I liked that this movie, and I think Guardians is pretty good at this, of not being melodramatic. I think some of the Marvel movies where they tend to go wrong is they make some like harebrained scheme and people are just dramatic and the stakes are so high. And this seemed like a really realistic problem. And also Rocket, the other thing I enjoyed so much, I don't know that it's a theme, but the animals were so sweet and lifelike, and that felt like a family in itself. Like the family that he created that he had before he joined all the Guardians, that felt like just as much of a family as the Guardians do. And that broke my heart, but also was very sweet and heartwarming as well.
So do you have any other likes before we move on to dislikes?
I think I'm good to go, but I just want to note I had quite a few likes for this film.
Yeah, this was pretty good. So one dislike you had was the character of Nebula. I don't know if it's just the way she's acted or what, but she was definitely like the weakest link of the five or six in this movie, I thought.
Jared, thank you for saying this, because I mentioned this to Arjun and he did not agree with me. I was like, does everyone hate Karen Gillan and this part and her voice? I was like, her voice makes me want to like leave the theater. And I don't think it's not me against Karen Gillan. I've listened to her. I even went to listen to her in interviews after the movie because I was like, does she really sound like that? And she doesn't. She's doing something with like her voice register. And also, I think she's Scottish. Is she Scottish? I think that's right.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But that's not really her accent or anything, regardless of where she's from. Oh, Scottish. Cool. Okay. But I don't think that character's funny. I think she's super weird. She reminds me of someone I know that I don't love. I know that that's not the fault of her or the writing or anything, but that's makes it harder to watch. But I cannot stand whatever tone, accent, whatever her voice is doing drives me up a wall. So that might be controversial, but I think Nebula is like an awful character. And yeah, I think she was the weakest link of the film.
Another dislike was obviously this movie explores animal cruelty and the things surrounding that nature. And that's very tough to watch at times, even though the animals are CGI and they're not real animals, you still feel for the animals. And with that happening so much in the movie, that was for me very tough to watch at times.
Me too. I mean, I welled up with tears multiple times watching the animal stuff. And Jared, they incinerated a turtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. about lost my mind. And so that was super sad. And then just everything that happens to the animals, I think you all can kind of know what we're talking about and where we're going with this. You know, what did make me happy was when he was able to get all the little baby raccoons. That kind of made up for it. But man, the animal stuff was hard to watch. I was okay. I can't really ding it for that, but I do think they could have done maybe a little bit less of it or rated it hard, like put that in the rating. Because I do think that's very serious to have to watch that for the extended amount of time you see in this film. And it just made me really emotional and I wasn't prepared for it.
So another thought that you had was that you thought this movie felt like 2.5 hours. I would disagree a little bit. I thought this was pretty paced pretty well. And I didn't really find myself checking my watch that often. So especially once we got into the third act, I thought that was very well done. And it didn't go on too long, but was long enough to get the story across. But you felt a little differently.
Yeah, I didn't think it was terrible. And maybe I shouldn't have worded it that way. I thought the pacing was actually quite good, too. I think they could have trimmed it down a little. Like, I think this could have been a 2-hour, 5-minute movie. I thought just like 2.5 hours seemed a little bit much for me because I really liked the story. I liked the themes. I liked everything we've talked about. But I don't think it was super complex where you needed that much time to explain the story and get a resolution. That's what I mean.
I can agree with that. I mean, it was a pretty simple story that they were telling. So when you look at that and the involvement in that, it's not like there's tons of different plot points that are going on in this. And I think that's the final dislike, is that this is a good movie, but doesn't really advance the plot of the Marvel Cinematic Universe very much. It's a nice wrap-up movie for this particular group of characters and kind of what they're doing, but it's definitely a one-off movie. But I would say that's kind of a dislike and also a like. I mean, it's nice that you don't have to have watched a bunch of Disney Plus TV shows and a bunch of previous Marvel movies to kind of know what's going on in this one, as long as you know kind of what happened with Thanos and, you know, Gamora from the last one and Infinity War and Endgame and stuff like that, then you'll be okay. So that was nice that you could just go in and watch this one if you wanted to, especially if you had only seen the other two Guardians movies.
Jared, you just really won me over with that comment. I did not even think about that. And you're absolutely right, because one of my major dislikes about Marvel is that you have to do like extensive research before each film. You have to watch all the TV shows, all the spinoffs, everything. And if you don't, you're just kind of screwed. And with this movie, you didn't have to do that. So they did that very, very well. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to say about it. I will say, I don't know if this was my favorite. I think my second was the least favorite.
I would agree.
I think the second was my least favorite. But I'd probably have to rewatch the first one again to kind of know what was my favorite. But I thought this was good. I will say, of the critics' reviews and stuff I read, they said that this didn't like really advance stories. I do kind of agree with that. I don't know that by the end I felt like there was a lot of progress made or like it moved a story forward. It was just interesting to find out about Rocket's life and what led him here and kind of see where the Guardians are currently at. But I don't know that to me it like propelled us forward for a new storyline, but that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, spoiler alert here, but if you've seen it, you've probably sticked around for the end credit scenes. I mean, there's a scene in the credits where like they show what is maybe going to be the new group of Guardians possibly going forward, which would be like Rocket, Groot, the other character from this movie, I forget his name, the guy that was all painted gold, dog,
yeah,
and his owner. Like they showed that could be like the group kind of going forward, which was interesting if they decided to do more movies. And then also at the end they said Star-Lord will return, so obviously Chris Pratt is going to be back in something as Peter Quill, as playing that character, probably the next round of Avengers movies that will be coming up here in a couple of years. So
it says his name is Adam Warlock in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Will Poulter. Weird.
Okay,
sure. I'll believe it.
Cool. So are we ready for grades?
Yes. Okay. Everyone, I'm kind of doing it on the fly because I really wasn't sure where to put this. I did quite enjoy this movie. I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. Okay. I'm going to give it an 85.
Okay.
I hope I don't live to regret that. I do think you brought up some really good points that I didn't even consider. I did think it was a lot better than I expected it to be. I don't think it's a movie I'm going to watch over and over again, but as far as just likable characters and an enjoyable story and where it ranks with like recent Marvel films, it's a lot better than a lot of the recent ones, in my opinion. So I'm going to go 85.
Nice. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you. I'm going to give this a 92 out of 100. Okay. Really liked it. Thought it was really well done. I think, it, like you said, one of the better Marvel movies in quite a while, at least for me, probably since Shang-Chi. That was probably my last real favorite one. I did not think Black Panther 2 was that insanely good.
I did like that one. Yeah. So that's the only thing we really differ on. But
yeah. And we both thought Thor wasn't great. So, but yeah, this was really good. Yeah. Doctor Strange was okay, but not great. So yeah, this was good though. Definitely worth seeing in a theater. I would highly suggest you do that if you haven't seen it yet. If you listen to this whole episode and haven't seen it, then that's a little odd, but you know, you do you. But it was really good, and I'm interested to see kind of where Marvel goes down the road. Obviously, The Marvels is the next movie that's going to come out. Brie Larson in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Reprising her role of Captain Marvel. Yeah, I got a trailer for that, and it does not look
that
great.
That looked so dumb to me. I really don't want to watch that one. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Well, I guess we'll worry about it when it comes to us.
Yeah, we'll figure that out when we get to it. So if you like the Silver Screen Podcast, want to follow us on social media, you can do that at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram, and just search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook. You can also follow us on Letterboxd, see what we're watching there. I just watched for the first time, forgot to mention this, 13 going on 30. So you can see the score I gave it on my Letterboxd. So check that out. Check our Letterboxd profiles out. And then we're going to take a little bit of a break. But on our next episode, we will be reviewing Fast 10, Fast X.
Yes. It's finally that time. We're going to see how it does.
This is the second to last one, I think. I think there's one more after this.
Are you joking?
I think there's one more.
They're going to end with 11? Why?
I think they are. I can't remember, though. I'll research that a little bit before record.
We'll do some extensive research for you all so that, you know, to make sure you can understand the Fast and the Furious franchise. But yes, we are going to see that again. We're taking a small break. It's my fault again, but this should be our last break for quite a while. So thank you for sticking with us. And we appreciate, too, all the comments and stuff. I had a couple friends message me today, Jared, that they were listening to the podcast and sent me little screenshots. So
nice.
Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Yeah. And next episode, we'll be reviewing Fast 10.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.